Good morning and welcome to worship. The psalmist said, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation." It is a privilege to gather as the people of God, to fellowship together, and to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you're a guest with us, we're honored that you've come this way. We appreciate your choosing to visit with us at Greystone. And if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to share more with you about the ministries of this great congregation. We would ask all of our members and guests alike at some point during the service to pass the friendship books down the aisle and make sure and sign to register your attendance. If you're a guest, if you wouldn't mind signing and letting us know a little contact information, first, we'll keep that private, and second, we'd look forward to staying in touch with you and hearing a little more about your life story. Worship is a great way to begin the week, and it's a wonderful boost to the growth and the life of a follower of Jesus. So on this day, with hearts, minds, and spirits, let us worship God together. Let us worship.
The journey of faith, just like life itself, has its twists and turns. And this morning, we're going to explore that journey in song. And I can't think of a better voice to help us to voice those that journey itself than my good friend, Brandy Hancock, who I've invited to share in worship with us. I know you'll be blessed by her. I hope you'll also welcome her and give her a very warm Greystone welcome sometime this morning before she leaves. I also just want to point out that her parents are here, and we're so glad to have Joseph and Brenda here supporting her, but worshiping with us as well. Church, let's worship. Would you stand with me? Children of God, we are marching to Zion step by step all the way. I'll bring you in a minute, but let's learn this song together. Join us, children of God.
Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Step by step all the way. In my prayer, you can hear me trying. In my prayer, you can hear me trying.
Children of God,
children of God, we are marching.
Christians pray,
and Christians pray that we keep on marching. Christians pray that we keep on marching. Christians pray that we keep on marching. Step by step,
all the way. Step by step, sing that again. And step by step, all the way. Step by step, and step by step, all the way.
God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's be seated.
Good morning. It is so good to see you all today. I brought Jamie with me today because he built this Lego Technic car a little while ago. Hey, that's so nice, Everett. So what would you guys think would happen to this car if it dropped or if it crashed into a wall? What would happen? It would break. You're exactly right, because this car is very fragile. That means it can break easily, or it can change very easily, right? If it broke, it'd be in a bunch of pieces. So did you know that our lives are also very fragile, just like this car? They can change. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day, right? Life changes a lot. So I want you guys to remember, we have to rely on God, right? Because God never changes. He's always with us. So let's think about how your lives can change. Who likes to have play dates with their friends? So let's say you have a play date scheduled, and it's Friday after school, and you're so excited. You've been looking forward to it all week. And you go to school, and you see the friend you're supposed to have a play date with isn't there. And you find out later that that friend is sick. So life changes, right? Plans change. You never know. Or let's say one Saturday you're going to go to the park with some friends, and you're going to have a picnic, and you're going to run around and play, and you're so excited, and you wake up Saturday morning, and it's rainy. So plans change, right? There's a lot of disappointment. So we never know. I want you guys to think about this. Today we're going to take up a special offering for our friends and neighbors who were really affected by the hurricane. Their lives have really changed, right? A lot of kids your age, they lost a lot of their favorite things. Some of them even lost their houses. And so their lives have changed a lot. They weren't expecting that, right? So we want to remember to pray for them and give to them and help out when we can. And again, remember that God never changes. So when we go through tough things and challenges, we can always rely on God, because he doesn't ever change. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come to church today. We thank you for never changing, for always being with us, and for being someone we can go to when we do run into hard times and challenging situations. In your name, amen.
Good morning. Well, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am excited to be with you today. I am Natasha Nedrick, and I'm the Executive Assistant / Project Specialist for Global Missions with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And what a fellowship it is. I have had the opportunity this morning to meet with several of you guys, and it's amazing the involvement that you guys have had within the fellowship. So on behalf of our field personnel that you personally connect with, you guys are an encouraging church for the Wyatts. With the field personnel that you connect with through Anna and LeCount Anderson and the children's mission that you guys have actively going on right now. I thank you for so generously giving to the offering for global missions. When you give to the offering for global missions, you allow work to go on in a neglected community such as Overtown in Miami, which is an area that you guys have sent mission teams to. When you give to the offering for global missions, you allow student.goers who are college students finding their calling to be able to serve in areas like Helena, Arkansas, another area you guys are actively engaged in. When you guys give to the offering for global missions, you support disaster response. And right now, Rick Burnett has been up and down the coast of North Carolina and also in South Carolina with Alan Williams, who's part of our global mission staff. And Rick is our field personnel managing disaster response in domestic areas. And when you give, you support that work. So we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your generous gifts to CBF, and particularly for the offering for global missions, because it's not just them doing the work. When you give, you start partaking in the area of global missions. You are also being engaged in the world, and you are doing what God has called you to do. So we are thankful and we are grateful for the work that you guys have been doing for so many years. I'm so grateful to be here today. As some of you may be aware, but maybe some of you aren't aware, within CBF Life, disaster response was at one time not part of Global Missions. It is now being housed back within Global Missions. And so I'd like to give you a bit of an update because of the recent events, right? Last year, before everything happened here, I was in Houston, and I was moving my mom, who was sick and in the hospital, and she just needed some more care. So I told my boss, I need to go to Houston, and I'll be back when I can. Is that okay? And because everyone at CBF is wonderful, he said, go take care of your mom. You can work from Houston. We can handle it. And I knew there was a storm in the Gulf. I didn't know how bad Hurricane Harvey was going to be. And so my mom was literally stuck in the hospital when they said it needed to be evacuated, but they couldn't get her out because there was no way to physically evacuate people. And I tell you this story to tell you that there was nothing that I could do at that moment but to pray. There was no other recourse. I remember the feeling of anxiousness. I remember the feeling of uncertainty that I had. And I say that to say that I have been praying for you guys since before Hurricane Florence hit. And it's not just me. CBF is a praying group of people. And I know this because our number one resource at CBF is the prayers of the people. Prayers of the People is our number one resource. Our number two resource is the Prayer Associates, where people get monthly prayer requests. CBF has been praying for you guys. We've been praying for people who've been affected from the hurricane. And we are not just a praying people, but we also are serving people, and we are giving people. So I'd like to give you a bit of an update on what's going on with disaster response within CBF. As I said earlier, Rick Burnett and Alan Williams have been surveying the area, and they have found out that there is a town called Trenton that was 90% of the homes were damaged in the last storm. With a population of 300 people, the multiracial rural community faces great economic challenges, and we are ready to facilitate CBF churches as they share resources and teams of volunteers to partner with Trenton in our recovery. And we picked this area because when we got there, days after the storm, not one agency had already been there. They were completely overlooked. They were completely neglected. And so this is one area that CBF is going to focus on and make sure that we look at not short-term recovery, but long-term recovery, because that is something that CBF does, and we focus on resilience when we do our disaster response. So I'm so grateful that you guys are raising an offering today that will go to the good work of helping this area, this community recover after this devastating storm. Lastly, I'm here, and this is my primary assignment, if I'm to be honest, because Davida Parnell commissioned me and charged me to celebrate one of your students. And you may not know this, you may know this, if you get this wonderful magazine. Earlier this year, they had the 25 youth to know. And do you know that one of your youth is one of the 25 youth to know in all of CBF Life? So if Jillian can come up here, and stand next to me because we want to celebrate her as being one of CBF's 25 youths to know. Now you may ask yourself, why is she up here? What has she done? Well, let me tell you, because she's pretty phenomenal. I'm rather impressed myself. Okay, so Jillian, what have you done? Well, you're a youth leader within student ministries here at Greystone. You're on the youth council. I've been told that she's an usher. I've also been told that she's rather gifted musically yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys have already figured that out. But there's more, and this is what really impressed me. Jillian, according to her youth pastor, and youth pastors have a special place, at least in my heart, because I was formed so much in youth ministry. It's not that she just serves, but she is also being a mentor herself to the younger youth that are here. She is a spiritual leader who leads Bible studies. She's always willing to pray. And through her own discipleship, she has become a part of a program called Adopt a Block, where she volunteers to share sharing food, building relationships, and listening to her neighbors and with her neighbors. In other words, I think this is a great way of saying Jillian is sharing the love of God and the love of Christ to her community. And for that, we celebrate her as one of CBF's 25 Youth to Know. Now, this simply says, be you. And as someone, myself, as I teach a youth Sunday school class, I always encourage, I think I do the soapbox every week, and I tell them, there are gifts inside of you. There are talents that God has placed inside of you. There are things that you are called to do that no one else is called to do. There's a word that you are called to give, and someone is waiting for the gift that is inside of you. So we encourage you to continue to nurture it. We encourage all the youth here to continue to nurture the gifts that are inside of you, because you are called. You are an integral part of our CBF life. You are an integral part of this church, and you are the church's best asset. And we celebrate you today. Thank you. My last plea with you guys is to let you know that today at 3 o'clock at Trinity Baptist Church, we will be hosting Reimagining Evangelism. This is an event and a conference set up for those of you who maybe are a little bit nervous, have a little bit of angst, have a little pause when you want to evangelize because you don't want to look like that guy who evangelizes, whoever that guy is. He's not here. Just don't look at any of your neighbors, because it's not anyone who's here, I'm sure. But if you want to be able to think through ways to reimagine so you can feel comfortable evangelizing, but we're not giving you a method, but talking about how to build relationships, we would love for you to join us. And because it's an evangelism event, the invitation is still open. And so it's $10 at the door. It covers your food, but I've already ordered extra food because I know you're going to come. So feel free to join us. You can register at the door. I'd be so pleased to have you join us today. Will you pray with me? God, we are grateful for the good work that continues to happen here at Greystone. We are amazed at the goodness that you have bestowed upon us and the skills and the talents that you have given us, God. We are thankful for the servant's heart that is here, God, for all the connections, for partnering with the Wyatts as field personnel, God, and for partnering with the Andersons and for partnering in Helena, Arkansas and in Miami. This church is so active and engaged, God, but we don't want to go anywhere that you don't send us. So God, we pray that you would give us a fresh anointing, that you would tell us where we are to go, not just as a church, but individually as well. What word would you have us to speak to someone? What word of encouragement? What word of welcome? God, we are open to move as you would have us to go. And we thank you for everything you are doing in our lives. We thank you for Jillian and for her spirit and for her excellence in ministry, even as a young Baptist, Lord. Continue to make ways to give her an elevation so she can make ways for even those that are younger than hers. We are grateful. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find the promised rest. Take away our faith has its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return I never, never more thy temples leave.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, it's with that vision ever before us that pulls us along on this journey. God, and it so inspires us even this morning to want to give, to further that kingdom in this world. God, would you take our belongings, our possessions, God, but even more than that, take our very selves. God, as we offer up to you in these moments, not just the things that belong to you already, but our very self, our very heart, we surrender that this morning. And may you be blessed by it, God, and may your kingdom be furthered in this earth. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Our scripture this morning is from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there, doing some business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for just a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, commits sin. This is the word of God for the people of people.
Somehow
And ready or not, tomorrow will be October 1st, 2018. Where did the time go? And the older I get, the more I wonder how the years just seem to fly by. And the little nieces and nephews that we used to keep and hold and rock are now getting their driver's license and getting married and having kids of their own. Time is just going far too fast. And I think that's what James had in mind when he said, life is like a vapor or a mist that appears for a brief time and then poof, it vanishes away. How do we deal with the brevity and the unpredictability of life? In just a moment, we want to talk just a little about navigating the twists and turns of life. But first, on behalf of a grateful church family, so good to have Natasha with us. Thank you for your updates and reports. And Jillian, thank you for being you. We're so proud of you, and your family's proud of you, and you represent our church well. Thank you. And then Brandy, what a gift God has given you. And thank you for sharing that gift with us this morning. And life continues to go by. Boy, I talk with a lot of young ministers, and a lot of them, both men and women, are wondering not only about their call, but how long does their call last? And then you get in the heated moments and the throes of ministry and the twists and turns and the opportunities and obstacles, and they wonder if they're still called. Listen, those of us in ministry have dealt with that over and over. I've struggled with that through the last 40 years. I have no doubt God called me at the age of 16, but one of the things that has kept me going in the ministry is that every week, whatever I'm planning to preach on, the week prior to that, in some mysterious way, just becomes a living parable of that sermon. So the last week has been about twists and turns, and boy, were they there. We have company coming to our house 3 of the next 6 weeks, and this week our air conditioner went out, and the repair person can't come until October 12th. This week we spent time dealing with deaths of 3 friends, and I shared in a couple of those services, and 2 were expected. 1 was absolutely a surprise. Just like here at Greystone, we began the week sharing in a surprising memorial service right here in this sanctuary. We ended the week with the birth of a much anticipated child who entered the world healthy, and mom and dad and baby are fine. The twists and turns of life. We took on Friday one of our dearest friends who helped do caregiving for my grandmother's in the middle of a breast cancer battle. She reached the halfway point of radiation treatment. We were able to take her for dinner and listen to a part of her story. The twists and turns of life, never in 1,000 years would she have dreamed she would be on this battle. Yesterday, I spent a good part of the day in traveling, calling pastors in the coastal Carolina area, getting updates on storm relief. And so important that we give generously to the offering and we sign up to work in the days ahead. And then this morning, it didn't stop yesterday, this morning. Something you'll learn about me is that I love to do all kinds of things. I love to cut the grass. I love to raise vegetables in the garden. I love to cook. I even love to wash dishes. I like washing clothes and folding them, but the one thing I hate to do is iron. First, I'm no good at it, and second, it seems like such a waste of time, and yet before I leave for my trip to come from Pensacola to Raleigh, I iron all my clothes, pack them carefully like they're in a package from the dry cleaners, and no matter how much I pack them carefully, when they get here, they have to be ironed again. And so in planning for today, I had this beautiful white shirt with purple and black plaid that sort of accents the size, my favorite shirt, and I ironed it ever so carefully this morning. I was looking to make sure it was neat and trim. My wife would be proud. And I came to church, and on the way, I stopped to get my half cup of coffee. And I know, as a minister, on Sunday morning, coffee is a weapon in your hand. And so I even went over to make sure that nothing was going to happen and made sure the lid was tightened fast and tilted the cup so that it couldn't pour out from under the cup, and it was sealed solid. So I sipped the coffee as I sang hymns all the way to church. We're just before the early service. I went in the restroom just to check and make sure that everything was set for the service. And there on the front of my shirt is this Java stain, like my heart has been bleeding coffee. And for some who thought that was a made-up story, I decided to bring the shirt into this service and show you. It looks like a target stained right over my heart. And so one of the other things one of my mentors said is never go to church without a spare shirt. So one of the things I'd done is stuck a spare white shirt still in the package in the desk drawer, went out, had no time to iron it, so I'm smoothing it out, putting it on, getting ready to run in the early service. And as I look up, you can still see it. Through the stain over my heart could be seen through the white shirt. and it looked like it was still there. And I thought, what am I going to do? I can't wear a starched shirt with no T-shirt under it. So I took the shirt off and turned the T-shirt around. So the stain on my heart is now the target on my back. And that is a true story, but it did occur to me as I was walking in this morning that there are people who are so reluctant to come to church, and maybe one of them is here this morning, and you feel like you have a stain on your heart that can't be removed, or a target on your back. And this is the kind of church that welcomes people with stains and with targets. I think James has something to say to us. He's telling us all throughout the book, there's so many wonderful life and faith lessons. Faith without works is dead. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Never judge someone based on their status or their stature in life. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity with it. You can use it to bless or curse, and you must choose which you're going to use. And then we get to this final part of the book of James. Life is a vapor. Life is a mist. Life is short. It's brief and unpredictable. What do we do with it? First of all, if we break this down for just a couple of moments, in the overall scheme of things, life really is short. James describes this vapor or mist just like we find in the Old Testament. The vapor not only reminds us that life is short, but that it's fleeting and it's fading. By the way, if you haven't noticed in statistics, life expectancy is continuing to increase year by year. And in 2018, the forecast is that babies born in 2018, just like the wonderful baby born this week, will have an average life expectancy as a male of 76 years. Had the baby been female, the average life expectancy is 81 years, which means some of us are going to live a lot longer than that. We're going to be octogenarians or centurions. Others of us are not going to make it nearly that long. I've done a lot of funerals in my life, around 992 as of this past week. The youngest funeral was for a three-day-old. The oldest was for someone age 108. What amazes me, having pastored over 27 people who had crossed the threshold of being 100 years old, is every one of them talks about, boy, life has gone by so fast. I think, wow, you're 100-plus, and life has gone by so fast. It's all of us. I have a hunch. If you talk to the 18, the 24, the 30-year-old, they would say the same thing. Life has gone by all too fast. Dylan Burris says that when we realize the shortness of life, we begin to see the importance of making every moment count. Not only is life brief, life is unpredictable. We should know that living in the shadow of a storm. That's the reason the writer of Proverbs says, whatever you do, do not boast or brag about tomorrow, for no one knows what a day may bring forth. Our plans are always written in pencil, never in ink. Storms come and winds blow, floodwaters rise, accidents happen, wars ignite, tragedy strikes ever so unexpectedly, relationships fracture, conflict emerges, and yet even in the best of circumstances, melancholy or anxiety or depression can set in like a cloud cast over your life, causing everything to go dark. And not one of these things checks your calendar or mine to see if it's a good time to happen. Life is brief and life is unexpected. So in light of that, what do we do? I think James is calling on us to practice our faith by our works. That in light of life's brevity and unpredictability, we must aim to live life to the maximum, never settling for mediocrity, always bringing excellence to everything that we attempt to do. Do any of you remember Red Skelton? That was my favorite show. When I was a kid growing up out on Route 6, we had our first TV that had one UHF channel and two VHF channels, Channel 6, Channel 13. We had to be in bed at 7:30 on Tuesday evening, which was halfway through Red Skelton, so I grew up watching half the Red Skelton show, right after the Green Hornet and Batman in black and white. But one of the things about Red Skelton, he always seemed to have a little bit of a message behind any story that he told, whether it was humor or real life. He tells a story of one of his good friends taking skydiving lessons. And his friend said, you know, to get my certificate, I've got to take 12 jumps. And so Red Skelton said to him, well, how many of those jumps have to be successful for you to get your certificate? He said, all of them. Well, we need to bring excellence to everything we do. I was fortunate in college to take an elective course in emergency medicine. And I did it on purpose. I'd been a lifeguard for the YMCA. I wasn't going to work as a paramedic, but I wanted to be trained. So they trained us in everything from CPR to delivering a baby in an emergency situation. And the class was full of football players and girls with Farrah Fawcett hairstyles who thought it was going to be a crip course and an easy A. And some were not taking the course seriously enough as we were preparing to get our CPR certification. And our teacher, who was a retired basketball coach and a legend in Alabama, said, "Class, listen up. In my worst nightmare, I'm the one in the wreck. And I look up to see one of my best students, about to do CPR. Well, if a task is worth doing, it's worth doing well. Life is brief. Life is unpredictable. Bring your A game and do the best you can. There are two words I think are implicit across the book of James. One is prioritize, the other is maximize. Continue to review your priorities, because if you don't, your default priorities will become the priorities of the world, and you will slip into what is defined as paganism, where your goals are simply to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow you die. Your goals are to tear down your barns and build bigger ones, because somehow we think that's an accomplishment in life. But as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, it's all vanity. Prioritize. What is your mission in life? What is your kingdom purpose? What are unique gifts that God has given you that equip you to do the work God has called you and I to do? Second is to maximize. Maximize the opportunities that come our way. Maximize the obstacles. Maximize the twist. Maximize the turns, believing that even when something bad happens, we serve a God who can bring about good in all circumstances, even circumstances that are unpredictable. And learn to be comfortable in your own skin. Jesus died on a cross for you. A lot of my counselor friends tell me that a lot of their clients have spent far too much of their life trying to become somebody else. They have so much self-loathing or self-hate or self-denial, they have an idealistic person they wish they could become. And we forfeit the uniqueness God has given to us. Every one of us in this room are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of us in this room are a unique design by God. Judy Garland, whose life did not represent the teachings of Jesus, but yet she had a lot to write in her memoirs, said you can spend your life doing one of two things. I encourage you to always be a first-rate version of yourself rather than a second-rate version of someone else. Jesus didn't come to erase our originality, but to maximize it. And one of the ways that we deal with the twists and turns of life is to constantly reevaluate our priorities and to maximize the opportunities that sometimes even come to us disguised as obstacles. Life is short, and someday it will be over. As Hebrews says, it is appointed to every human being once to die, and after this, the judgment. Only a couple of exemptions from that. You could say it was Jesus. Jesus died and was raised again. You could say it was Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the grave, but he died again. You could say it was Enoch in the Old Testament, the one who walked with God and seems to have mysteriously escaped the phenomena we know as death. But for the most part, according to the law of averages, there will come a point sooner or later where you and I will depart this life. A healthy attitude is to be prepared for death without being preoccupied by death. But in my world, having done those 992 funerals, I've spent an exorbitant amount of time with people who are getting ready to exit this planet. It's interesting, because my moments with them are sacred. It's almost like a sacred trust. So I'll only generalize to say that as I listen to their story, as I hear their confession, as I listen for their confirmation of faith, as I'm privileged to hear both their recollections and their regrets, I've never heard a single one say, "I wish I had more money." Not one has ever uttered the words, "I just wish before I go I had a bigger house." I've never had a single solitary man or woman, young or old, say, "I wish I had worked more hours." What they all say to start with is, "I wish I had more," what do you think that is? Time. Every one of them, "I wish I had more time." The other things they say, and I've jotted these down in the top three, "I wish I had more time," I wish I had done more good. And I wish I had gotten to know God better sooner. I waited until a time like this. So here's my challenge from James. What if we reverse that? That today, with all of his giftedness, with all of his potential, with all of his obstacles, opportunities, what if today we made better use of our time? What if on a day like today we commit ourselves to do more good, to serve with our best gifts, by doing things like giving generously to our disaster relief offering, by signing up after the service to be a part of one of the teams, to go and do good in Jesus' name? But then what if we decided to get to know God better right now, rather than trying to make final preparation while we're on the launching pad? Remember that stain on the front and back of my shirt? Every one of us have a stain somewhere, which is why I think Isaiah said, this is what God is like. God is like someone who says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Life is brief, with lots of twists and turns. May God help us, empower us, to make the most of it. Amen. And I can hear those camp songs from Chaco Springs and Ridgecrest like it was yesterday. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. These moments of commitment are times for us to seek first the kingdom of God. Let us, as followers of Jesus, recommit ourselves to following his footsteps. And this morning, if you're here, you've never begun the journey of following Jesus, today is the best day in your life to begin. If you're looking for a church home at Greystone, we would graciously welcome you and invite you to join us on this journey of service and growth. In a moment, as we stand together, let us each make our decision to seek God's kingdom through the brevity of life. If there's a decision you need to share, come quickly and let us celebrate with you. May we stand and sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
And in the spirit of the greatest love the world has ever known, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us celebrate the peace of Christ. Hey, David, peace of Christ to you. Peace of Christ, Walker. Hey, peace of Christ. Peace of Christ to you. peace of Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Peace of Christ.
Well, again, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Just a couple of brief announcements in addition to all that you see listed in your worship guide this morning. Do remember that we are collecting, as you leave today, our special offering for the disaster relief related to the flooding and other damage caused by Hurricane Florence, even in our own state. I hope you will consider that as you exit this morning. And also, remember that next week we will have our Rise Against Hunger worship emphasis. We will all worship together at 8:45 in the morning before serving together in the fellowship hall. We do hope you will join us for that. And I am making the special announcement that you remember we are worshiping together at 8:45. So don't try to come to this service because we will be down the hall. But we do hope you will join us for that. It's always a special time to love and serve together. Now let us continue in song.
Singing these words, Christ, you call us all to service. Christ, you call us all to service. Call us all to follow you. Plant in us a deep commitment, all your work and will to do. Fire a passion for your justice, in us kindle love of peace. Help us heal the brokenhearted, to the captive bring release.
And it has been good to be in the house of the Lord together. Now may the God who loves us more than we can comprehend send us from this place with hearts full of joy to grow and to serve, confident that whatever the journey brings, God will empower us to navigate. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you all.